The grace, peace, and love of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, you have revealed the great mystery of the world, the mystery of life, death, and resurrection. We pray that we might have eyes of faith through which to view our lives, so that we might see this wonderful mystery at work within us and within the world around us. Amen. Now, if you read the Gospel according to St. Mark, as it has been unfolding in front of us over the past few weeks, you will realize that in short order, the evangelist allows us in on a secret, and that secret is that Jesus receives his newfound powers through being filled by the Holy Spirit in the waters at the River Jordan. Now, that should lead us to ask the next question. The important question, the operative question. Just what exactly are these great powers that Jesus has received through the Spirit? Well, we'll be surprised to find that Mark's answer is in line with the other Gospels, is in line with Matthew and Luke and John in this, in that Mark says that these great powers that Jesus has received are nothing other than the powers of a mystery. The power to wield life, death, and resurrection. Now, this mysterious power, death and resurrection, is at the heart of the Gospels. It's at the heart of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this mysterious power, the power of death and resurrection, is indeed at the heart of everything. Once it has been seen, it cannot be unseen. It is the secret which is at the heart of the cosmos and indeed at the heart of life and being itself. Now, Mark gets at this through a strange twist in the end of the gospel. We know from the beginning of the gospel, of course, that Jesus has been imbued with this power by being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the evangelist drives this home at every turn. Every time Jesus does a great work and somebody asks, from where does he receive these powers? Is it Beelzebul or is it God? From where does he receive the authority to do this? We, as the hearer of the gospel, know that it is purely divine in nature. But in order to understand what exactly the kind of power he receives, we get that by looking at the gospel backwards. You see, eventually, as we journey through Holy Week, as we journey through Lent and Holy Week, and as we get to Easter, we'll hear that story that we know very well. The story of Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James and of Salome, who gather the appropriate spices for the anointment of the body of their crucified master, who wait until after the Sabbath has ended for the first day of the week, and then they strike out to the tomb, wondering along the way who will be there to roll the stone aside, to unseal the tomb. But nevertheless, when they get there, they realize that the tomb has been unsealed, and they enter into the tomb with some trepidation, as they do in the other Gospels. But here in Mark, the ending is a little more ironic and a little more ambiguous. They, of course, find the empty tomb, but they don't find an angel sitting there. They find this strange figure, a young man clothed in white. And the young man looks at them and says, don't be afraid, don't be nervous. I know whom you seek. It's Jesus of Nazareth, right? Well, I have a message for you, and the message is this. He's not here. He has been raised. Now you must go and tell everyone. For the first time in the gospel, people are told to tell others about what Jesus is doing. You go and tell everyone, and go back to Galilee, where he told you what would happen. Now, at this point, the hearers of this gospel, and I mean hearers, this gospel was circulated in oral form a long time before it was committed to ink and papyri. The hearers would say, Eureka, aha, and it would click to them. They would be surprised. They heard the words, he is risen. And all of the times in Jesus' early Galilean ministry when he raised people, like Simon's mother-in-law, from sickness, when he raised people by casting out demons, by casting out those things that tormented them, when he raised people by giving them hope in the gospel and calling them to new life, would click in the heads of the hearers, and they would realize that Jesus has been practicing the cosmic secret out in open all the time. Now, we're a textual visual people. If we want to look at this, we'll probably go home in the afternoon and we'll open up our Bibles and work our way through Mark. And you can, with a red pen or a pencil, underline all of the times in which Jesus raises someone in his ministry, when he casts out demons, when he heals, when he speaks a word of forgiveness. And we can look at that, and in that way we can have the secret laid bare for us. But like I said, the original hearers of this gospel, they would have experienced this much like when we watch a television show or a movie, when there's a final twist in the ending that totally recasts the entire narrative for us, that makes us look at the entire narrative once again, in which we view it with new eyes. Now, Mark's boy in the tomb is calling the ladies to revisit, to remember, and hereby calls the hearers of the gospel to remember all of those times in Jesus' ministry when he, like leaven, has raised the world. Then and there, the hearers see this mystery of death and resurrection through the lens of faith, and it changes everything for them. Now, truth be told, if we take time to examine our lives, we too will see this mysterious risen one working the mystery of death and resurrection in our lives. Sometimes, when we encounter the Spirit-filled power of God in Christ, we can see God working that ministry not so much in the past tense, but rather in the present tense and also into the future. The Church constantly reminds us that the mysterious engine of the entire cosmos, death and resurrection, can be seen most clearly in the waters of holy baptism. In fact, the ancient Church cast the waters of baptism in this metaphor. They said, in baptism, a virtual drowning occurs. In the waters of baptism, the old Adam, the old Eve, is submerged and drowned, and from the creation, a new Adam, a new Eve, emerges from the waters. That was the Church's theological way of reminding us that God continues to raise people to newness of life through the Spirit-filled Jesus here and now and into the future. Today, we will celebrate the newness of life and the mystery of death and resurrection at work within this people of God as we celebrate the baptism of Grace Marie Zeller, as she is grafted on to the vine of Christ and made part of God's creative and recreative work in the world now and forever. So just as the evangelist Mark tells us about the Spirit-filled Jesus' power to bring life out of death by reminding us in all the ways that he has revealed that mysterious power during the course of his ministry in Galilee, we are reminded that God works still in our lives, raising us as we encounter the words of forgiveness that come to us in the gospel, by bringing life out of death as we hear the words of forgiveness in the brief order of confession and forgiveness, by bringing healing and his presence in the midst of things that torment us. We see this mystery at work again and again, and we especially see it in baptism, where we are washed from sin and washed for service in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So may our eyes be opened to the real presence of the risen Christ, and may we come to see the mystery of death and resurrection at work in, with, and through the people of God, the Church. Amen.